The topics of pollution, the environment, and climate change are full of seeming contradictions. For instance, the United States is the largest emitter of carbon dioxide in the world, but it is also the largest economy in the world and would rank quite differently on an emissions as a percentage of gross domestic product scale. So what to make of this? Or consider the business case for nuclear power when compared to fossil fuels, which has just been turned on its head with the large-scale production of natural gas by fracking and oil by using deep drilling techniques. Where do these developments leave opponents of fossil fuels? This is Sarwar Kashmiri, and my guest on today's edition of Great Decisions is Mr. Nat Cohen, one of the country's leading voices on the economics of environmental policy. He is a vice president at the Environmental Defense Fund, where he leads its international climate program. Until recently, Mr. Cohen served in the Obama administration as special assistant to the president for energy and environment in both the National Economic Council and the Domestic Policy Council. Here's our conversation. So we've been reading recently about the big French nuclear group, Areva, that was to have set up and run a number of nuclear power plants in America. But because of all of this abundance of energy that the U.S. finds itself with now, they've decided to cancel their contracts and go back home. They said they just can't make money anymore. And so one can easily be left with the impression that, gee, we've solved many of our energy issues, environmental issues, and is America really at this golden age where most of the problems are behind us?
Well, I think, the news about the nuclear plants is interesting partly for what it says about the economics of nuclear, which I think are tough and have always been tough. But I think, as you point out, to the broader question of energy in the United States and the economics of energy. And one thing I would say, look, there are specifics about the nuclear plants and so on in terms of capital costs. But one thing that's clearly missing from an economist's point of view, that's missing from the energy policy landscape in the United States, is a price on carbon. So we talk a lot about the cheap price of fossil fuels, and we can get back to sort of what the energy landscape means. But one reason fossil fuels, and in particular coal, are so cheap is because we're not pricing in the cost to the atmosphere and to the planet of the carbon dioxide emissions that come out of burning coal and natural gas and go into the atmosphere. It's not clear that if you just had the right price on emissions, I'm not saying that would make the difference for nuclear, but from an economist point of view, the number one thing that's missing right now from our energy and environmental policies is that price signal that would say, here's the cost associated with burning fossil fuels, and that could get us on that critical downward path we need to be on to reduce our emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions that are warming the planet and putting us on a terrible path.
So staying on the economics of it for a while, I want to pursue one of the points that you made. As we all know, that the United States is the second largest emitter of carbon dioxide. As an economist, how do you relate that to the fact that the U.S. is by far the largest economy? So as a percentage of GDP, is the CO2 emission really that much of an outlier?
The way I would put it, I think that's most easily accessible and simplest to think about is emissions per capita, so per person.
Yes.
Because on that indicator, we're not the highest country in the world, but we're certainly one of them, the highest. At around 20 tons of greenhouse gas emissions per year per person in the United States, that's well above that's, I think, more than twice what Europe is, and roughly 10 times what a country like India has been. And so that kind of per capita emissions gives you a sense. Yes, we're a large economy. Yes, we're a large population. But the U.S. emissions are also outsized relative to our population. And it's critical that as the world's leading economy, that we take more action to address that issue in our own borders.
And I guess another way of looking at what you've just said is if the United States is such a highly developed economy, then the health of each individual is as important or should be as important to public policy or more so than anywhere else in the world. And so the way you've described it, CO2 emissions per individual, that has a direct impact on individual health, doesn't it?
In the aggregate, the effects of climate change will have very important impacts
yes.
on health. And so as we look at, across the array of what are we already observing in terms of planetary changes, in terms of rising temperatures and so on, that has many dimensions, sea level rise, effects on ocean ecosystems, effects on human on built infrastructure,
right.
Effects on species and so on. The list goes on. One of those impacts will be health impacts, as you say. And actually, the reality is many of those health impacts, I mean, those impacts will be spread around the world. So not only in terms of, direct health impacts on populations in developing countries, but also more frequent heat waves, for example, in extreme heat events in developed countries,
right.
like the ones we saw in Europe a few years ago. So yes, one of the many dimensions here is health, but from, you know, getting back to the sort of what does the policy need to be, the what's missing from our energy policy landscape is that signal of those costs that burning fossil fuels now is going to impose on current and future generations going forward.
If you could take the last 4 or 5 years when we've discovered these new terms of fracking, digging for oil that's way, way far underground. I mean, there's an impression that we all have now that, gee, we've done all these things, and if they could only be put under some regulations and made safer, then we would have all the energy we need. But other reports which tell us that we're now reaching a stage where even if we try today, it might be very difficult to control the impact on the environment of all the emissions. How do you, with your expertise and background and exposure in the White House, bring all this together for the common person?
Well, I think that's a good question. And for the past several decades, people, I think, have been aware of some of the more immediate impact that we see from energy production, for example. The local impact, you know, you think about oil spills, for example,
yes.
Exxon Valdez
yes.
transporting oil, or local environmental impact on air quality from burning coal and so on. So those have been very much front of mind in the past, and I think in many places we've really put in place the regulatory policies to address them. And I think climate and climate change is of a perhaps a different order. It's a global problem, which means we're going to have at some point concerted action by all of the major emitters of the world. And it's a problem that we are already beginning to see the impacts of, but where the greatest impacts will be happening, you know, out into the future. And that makes it a harder problem in many ways to address than some of those conventional air pollution problems. And I would just say what the challenge for policy is to get us to shift from a reliance on relatively cheap fossil fuels like coal and even natural gas, but shift from those fossil fuels that we and oil, of course, petroleum that we've been dependent on, which are cheap partly because we don't see that full price in terms of the impact on the atmosphere and on the future planet, and shift from those to cleaner forms of energy, renewable energy in particular. The advances in wind and solar are really phenomenal, and we're seeing wind power be competitive for electric power generation in much of the United States, in much of the rest of the world, be competitive on a cost basis with fossil fuels. We're seeing great strides and great progress made in lowering the cost of solar power. So what we need to do is shift the world from that over-reliance on fossil fuels towards cleaner fuels. That will help solve those traditional pollution problems of air quality and so on, but it will also help us address this issue of all the greenhouse gases and the carbon.
You've been listening to a conversation with Nathaniel Cohane on behalf of the Foreign Policy Association. This is Sarwar Kashmiri. Thank you for listening.